Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
For the next 4 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the power of God, tapping into the power of God, what we need to do to position ourselves for the power of God to work in us. Because here's what can happen to us. We can hang around Jesus, who is all powerful, all power is His, and not have His power working in our life. This is a mystery, really, in some sense. And we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to be talking in the weeks to come. The Holy Spirit is a key to God's power in our life. We're going to be talking about that. Some of you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, it is one of the greatest, most awesome, most wonderful things that can happen to you as God is working in you, but when He empowers you. We're going to be talking about other aspects of it because I believe this. I believe God wants to touch His people, that God is working in the church in an unusual way. I mean, I don't know how else you explain what we're seeing happen as we're watching. I mean, last Sunday, 58 people made decisions for Christ. Come on, that's a lot of people. So already this year, just on Sunday, that's not counting camps. That's not counting what's happening in the elementary area. That's not counting what's happening in the youth area. That's not counting what's happening in the Design Sisterhood nights. We're just talking on Sunday morning. Over 1,000 people have come forward to receive Christ. I mean, that is exceptional. Almost 1,980 already this year have been baptized in water. When you think about that, there is a grace. We're watching God work in power. And beyond that, we're just seeing a favor from the Lord, a grace from the Lord. I mean, think about this. 2 years ago at this time, the women's conference had 7,100 women signed up this time 2 years ago. Already, over 9,100 people have signed up for the Design for Life conference. I mean, you think about that. You watch what God is doing. God is doing something exceptional. God is doing something unusual. And you know what? Here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to miss a season of the Lord's visitation. I mean, this is why I wanted to be able to talk with you about power and I wanted to be able to simulcast, is because there are windows of opportunity. There are seasons. Seasons come, seasons go. We go from glory to glory, but this is a season where God is working very, very powerfully. You know, it was powerful. I can speak. I was at the South Campus. It was powerful at the South Campus. I talked to Tom at the North Campus. He said it was powerful. So I talked to David. David said it was powerful at the West Campus. Debbie was down at Joplin. And Debbie said there was such an excitement, such a power. In fact, let me just say this. In addition to all the people getting saved, I'm talking to somebody in the hallway in between the second and the third service, and they're saying, they're talking about their back, they're talking about how it's, they're in terrible pain, can't get comfortable. As I'm sitting there talking to them, I feel like the Lord, you can feel the presence of the Lord in an unusual way. Honestly, you just can. And so as I'm sitting there listening to this, I said, well, let's pray. We prayed, and I really just in my heart just felt like God is going to heal him. 2 days later, I get a text. His back is totally healed after months of, and I'm telling you that because, and part of it is having received a really a significant healing in my body, I mean, I just still am. Every day I'm getting up and I'm like, God, this is unbelievable. This is amazing. This is spectacular. You've healed me. And so I'm just very, very thankful for that. I sense the presence of the Lord working in a powerful way. Debbie and I are talking about it. It's a unique season. Been here 27 years. And so I think I'm in that sense, I can see things in perspective to what God is doing. It's a season. So So with that in mind, what I want to do, I want to take a long time because I really want us to come into the altar because I believe God wants to touch people. We've had several, praise cards of people who've come into the altar on Wednesday night, and God has touched them. God has met them because that's what God does in the altar. So what I want to do is I want to take just a moment and I want us to look at a scripture that I think will help us get ready in terms of God working. And essentially what I want us to see is when we spend time with God, we see God work in power in our lives. So in Matthew chapter 17, we've looked at this before. At the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. So Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down. As he comes down, he's got Peter with him. He's got James and John with him. He's been talking with them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly, and he often falls into the fire or the water." And the reason why is because the sickness is caused by a demon, so the demon's trying to kill him. "He often falls into the fire or the water, so I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Here's what's interesting. Had they healed people before? Yes. He sent them out two by two, and they healed the sick. They cast out demons. So why is it that somebody who has had God use them in that way before now isn't able to do that? What's wrong? What's happening there? Jesus said, "You faithless and corrupt people." You see, sometimes we think we can see God work in an area, but then we don't meet with success. And there's a reason behind that. I'm not saying this text gives us the only reason. I'm just simply saying it gives us a very significant reason. So Jesus says, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you?" Who's he talking about? He's talking about the disciples. It's interesting. Faithless. That means you're not close to God. If you're without faith, this is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. Faithless. Somewhere along the line, they've been walking with Jesus, but they've gotten farther apart from him. I think that's a unique danger for every believer, to think that because I go to church, because even that I'm doing the things I do. You know, you can get to a place where you're going through the motions and you can find yourself farther away from God than you ought to be. Walking with him, but not close to him. And then it says, and corrupt. So, far from God, close to the world. Because what happens is, if we get an appetite for the things of the world, it works against our appetite for God. This is the disciples. Too close to the world, too far from God. And that can happen so easily, not close enough to God. Well, let's put it this way. Rather than too far from God, let's say not close to God, too close to the world. So we can be with Jesus and not be close enough to Jesus. And we can be with Jesus and get too close to the world. And these are the disciples. Look at what it says in verses 19 through 20. Can you give me 19 through 20? Afterward, the disciples. There you go. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we cast out that demon?" So they're asking this. Jesus said, "You don't have enough faith." And Jesus told them, "I'll tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from there, from here to there,' and it would move, and nothing would be impossible." In other words, what he's saying is you don't need a lot of faith if you've got real faith. Well, sometimes people get caught up and we can be like the disciples. We can say, "Well, I got to have more faith. And in Luke chapter 17, it's interesting. The apostles said to the Lord, "Show us how to increase our faith." And Jesus answered, "If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed would be very, very tiny. If I held it in my hand here, had the camera zero in, you could barely see it." In other words, Jesus is saying, let's not make this too complicated. Don't, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus is saying, listen, the issue isn't that. If you have just a speck of real faith, you have all you need. If you just have a little bit, that's all that you need if it's the real thing. You only need a little bit of faith. But where do we get the faith? And how do we make sure we're close enough to God to see God do what it is He wants to do? And this really is the key for us. The disciples are saying, Lord, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we cast that demon out? Why couldn't we heal that boy? God, why am I not seeing your power work in my life? Again, I'm not saying this is the only issue. I am only saying it is an issue. And one of the things that happens is people are not close enough to God because they're too close to the world, and they're not operating in real faith. And how do we resolve all of that? And this is where prayer comes in, and this is where the prayer meeting comes in, and this is where you and I right now in this season where God wants to do more than we can ask or imagine, wants to work in the church and work in each of our lives and show Himself powerful. And it comes down to this, Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. But this kind of demon won't leave except by prayer and fasting. Mark says this kind can be cast out only by prayer. So some of the oldest manuscripts don't have fasting, but if it's a scribal edition, it's because the copyist understands the teaching of the apostles and understands that it's in fasting that we spend more time in God's presence, right? It's in fasting we actually will do more praying. In other words, the issue is prayer, but it's more prayer. It's lots of prayer. It's living in an attitude of prayer. It's fellowshipping with Jesus at a new level. Let me just say this here. One of the things that happens, one of the reasons why we're seeing what we're seeing in the church is because we as a church took 3 weeks and said, we're going to really dial in and zero in on seeking the Lord, calling on God, and we're going to adjust how we eat and what we do with our time. We're going to fast meals. We're going to fast. We're going to maybe turn off the TV or social media or different things, and we're going to really set our heart on seeking God at a higher level. And I realized that you know, hey, we get back in life, but what I've challenged the staff to do is to say, hey, listen, some of the adjustments that we made as individuals during that time of seeking the Lord, let's not just go back to the old way because we're seeing the benefit of spending more time with the Lord, right? And so let's not just go back to the way we were before, but let's right now really recognize this is a time of the Lord's visitation, that this is a time when God is doing things that are powerfully unique and exceptional and above what we can ask or imagine. I mean, we're seeing that. Honestly, to go down to Joplin and have 1,450 people show up, I mean, in a city that size, to have that kind of turnout is really quite exceptional. It's very, very unusual. I mean, I could go down the list of different things, and I would simply say to you that as I'm watching what God is doing, there are some things on the horizon that as well are more than we could ask or imagine. We're seeing the grace of the Lord in a really wonderful way. And my heart for all of us, whether at the South Campus, the North, the West, the Joplin Campus, people watching online, is that tonight faith would rise in your heart and that there'd be a hunger on your part to say, I'm going to really just continue to press in and seek the Lord. You know, there's some of you and you haven't yet received what you were fasting about, what you were asking God to do. And that doesn't mean God's not still going to do it. It doesn't mean that heaven said no or heaven didn't hear. It just simply means God is just saying, hey, draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. You seek my face, I will show you my power, because time in the presence of the Lord brings God's presence into our situation to a greater degree. It just simply is true. And I just feel such an excitement for the church and for all of the people at the prayer meeting that God's going to meet you. Some of you have come tonight, you're carrying huge burdens. God's going to meet you. Some of you tonight need God to heal you. God's going to meet you. Some of you have asked things in the fast, haven't yet received them. God's going to meet you. I'm not saying this to try to whip you up into some kind of, I'm just saying simply, I have this confidence in the Lord and this sense from the Lord as I pray for the church, as I am in his presence, just saying, Lord, what is it that you're doing and how is it that you want us to move forward? I feel like God is saying, listen, I'm not done with more than you can ask or imagine. I'm just not done with that. There's more that I want to do. I want to do more than people can ask or imagine. And I really feel like what he did in my life is almost like a first fruits as an example to say, listen, what I did, you know, what he's done for me, he's going to do in your life to whatever degree that you need it. I just feel that way. I feel that God is doing more and that my job as the pastor is to encourage you to wade in, to seek it, that you might receive it. And the key is prayer.